today on Ag News Daily.
And I reached out to a couple of farmer friends, and they said, absolutely, as soon as we get the opportunity, we're going to put in beans. Early planting of soybeans paid off for them.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Another Ag News Daily podcast here with Delaney Howell and Mike Pearson. Mike, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic. Earlier today, I had the chance to go out to the western suburbs of Chicago to tape a television show. Hopefully, our listeners are all tuning into This Week in Agribusiness. And today was a very exciting show because I got to work with not just Max Armstrong, who we'll be talking to later on in this program for today's interview, talking about what he has seen and heard throughout meeting season this spring, but also Mr. Orion Samuelson, the godfather of all farm broadcasters, was on the studio today and got to have a great chat with Orion. So I always enjoy that. So it was a really, really fantastic way to spend the morning.
Awesome, Mike. Well, we'll watch for that episode this weekend.
Absolutely. Checking on RFD TV and your local television stations. Delaney Howell, what have you been up to? What's new in the world of the Howlster?
Well, I just finished up taping the latest episode of the Spokesman Speaks podcast, which is a podcast put together by the Iowa Farm Bureau. I think this latest episode was really interesting, though, because they had a couple of really good guests, including Dr. Sarah Place, Dr. Gene Loney of the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance, and also Dr. Dan Loy.
Wait, wait.
Yes.
Step back. Dr. Sarah Place, I love, big fan of Dr. Place. I've heard her present at many, many cattle conventions. Her insights are new and unique. Listeners, definitely check that out. And then, of course, I know Dr. Dan, big Dr. D, Dr. Dan Loy. He served on the Iowa Cattlemen's Board with me. And then who was the middle guy? Was it Dr. G. Money?
Dr. Jean Loney, and she works with the U.S. Farmers and Ranchers Alliance. Yeah, so this episode was focused on, and I think did a really good job of painting the picture of how ag is working to address the environmental footprint that we make up.
Fantastic. I was really hoping there was a Dr. G. Money out there, like it was the the PhD version of the Wu-Tang Clan. I was really hoping that was a thing that existed.
No. But we're definitely going to have Dr. Jean Loney on the podcast sometime because she's done some really interesting work.
Excellent. Well, that sounds like something we should work into. Delaney, because we do want our listeners to be sure to tune in to the Spokesman Speaks podcast, where should they go to do such a thing?
Oh, absolutely. They can find it in the same place that they're finding the Ag News Daily podcast if they're listening on their phone. Otherwise, you can head to iowafarmbureau.com/podcasts.
Excelente. That is the good news, Delaney. Glad we hit that out of the park here to kind of start the podcast, because we're going to have to talk markets a little bit.
We're also probably going to have to talk about the coronavirus, another topic I don't really care to talk about too much anymore.
Yeah, but we absolutely have to. Listeners, as I'm sure a lot of you are aware by now, last night President Trump gave a briefing from the Oval Office about the coronavirus and the U.S. response to it. And one of the prongs of the Trump administration response is a 30-day travel ban on travelers from Europe. The World Health Organization has also declared COVID-19, the coronavirus, a global pandemic. Those two factors combined, well, that and just kind of the general consensus of fear in the markets, combined today to give us another 7% down day in the Dow. As we're recording right now, the Dow has not closed. Stocks are still trading for another 40 minutes. The Dow is presently down 7.9%, trading at 21,693 points. The S&P is off 7.21%, trading at 2543.77 points. According to these stock indices, we are now in recession territory, and that is just another fear factor leading people to sell. Of course, it's not just happening in the world of equities. We're seeing this sell-off happen in the ag commodities as well. In fact, this is one of the larger sell-off days we've seen, which is saying a lot, given that we've seen sell-offs and then buybacks really this entire week. It has been whiplash, one thing and then another. Ugh, I just looked at the meats for the first time since noon. Ugh. Bad news, everybody. I'm just going to rip this bandit off. We have a limit down across the board in all the meets in all of the nearby classes. So, yuck, Delaney, do you have any different news for us, any good news for us?
No, I'm just going to keep with the bad news. So then maybe later on in the podcast we've got something a little bit better to talk about. I'm not sure. But
Delaney, I've got more bad news.
Well, okay, let me continue the bad news.
Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson, both have coronavirus.
They're fine. They're in Australia.
I know. That's I'm hopeful that once they recover, people will be like, oh, okay, all right.
Yeah.
Here we've got famous people
right.
who got it and recovered, and, you know, all right, we can all take a breath and, you know,
exactly.
go back to eating beef.
Right,
What's
exactly.
your news, lady?
Well, so this was interesting. Mike Steenhook, who works with the Soybean Transportation Coalition, put together some interesting numbers just looking at kind of, I guess, how the coronavirus is affecting the soybean export and supply chain and, you know, how that's related to the U.S.-Chinese trade relationship. And so for the week of March 5th, looking at soybean export sales to China, we saw really only about 2 to 3 ocean vessels left the United States to head to China for soybean sales. But when on the flip side of that, when you look at Congress, we're still seeing folks say, especially Secretary Perdue, that China is going to come to the buying table until today. We saw Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley, who of course oversees the Trade Policy Committee, say that China may deserve some flexibility when it comes to fulfilling those promises made under the Phase 1 trade deal due to difficulties of dealing with the coronavirus.
Oh, interesting. Interesting, interesting. So, yeah, the bad news is continuing.
Right. And that Congress seems a little more apt to let China out of their purchase agreement as of late, maybe.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's really disappointing given the moves we've seen for China to actually look like they are preparing to start buying American products.
Correct, yeah.
Let's let them buy the stuff. Let's keep them scared a little bit.
Right.
Well, I do have some piece that could be slightly bullish. It's tough to see it in the markets today, but we do have drought going on in Argentina. Argentina has now seen 23 days of drought in their key growing regions, right there up around Rosario. And they're saying that this means that their soybean harvest is estimated to fall from 55 million metric tons down to 51.5 million metric tons. So this would be a little bit of a drop from the USDA's estimate. The USDA in March here just earlier, this on Tuesday of this week. Gosh, this week is so slow. I can't believe that was just on Tuesday. The USDA pegged production at 54 million metric tons. So to have it brought down by two different estimators, both the Rosario Grain Board of Trade and BAGI, the Buenos Aires Grain Exchange, as they say, both lowered their crop substantially. So this is one of those things that should be a little bit bullish, certainly supportive of beans, and you combine this with the fact that they are going to be seeing their export taxes hiked, might mean that we see fewer beans out of Argentina over this next year than we had initially anticipated, which means some of that business, a lot of it's going to go to Brazil as their mm-hmm. crop is still pegged to be record large. Some of it might end up trickling up the coast into North America, which would be good news for our bean growers here in this country.
Yeah, but I don't know that that would be enough of anything, unless Brazil has weather issues, to be massive market movers.
Right. We're not going to be a huge market mover, but it's, you know, it's going to keep us above zero
right.
On the soybean markets, which is always positive.
Absolutely. Well, shifting our attention, Mike, back to the United States, another piece of, I guess you could call it somewhat more positive news, is looking at plant-based terms, especially when it comes to dairy products. FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn says that he's got some concerns that consumers are being misled by dairy terms that are using, you know, dairy terms for plant-based alternatives, such as soy juice or almond juice, as I will call them on the podcast. But
the various nut juices.
Right. But he also said, and I didn't realize that this was a potential problem, he says there's a potential problem with First Amendment issues in restricting the use of those terms, and the FDA lawyers are working through some of those issues.
Well, and I think that's a very legitimate concern. Obviously, if we're going to be restricting what people can and cannot say, we've got to be prepared for the argument that, well, we are restricting people's freedom of speech unless they're outright lying, which is the argument I know from the dairy, mm-hmm. dairy folks that, hey, it's not milk. It is
right.
not milk. It does not come from a mammal. Therefore, it cannot be milk.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same nutritional attributes that dairy products have.
Right. Right. So I think this is going to set up. I'm sure there will be a court case before
oh,
all
sure.
of this gets really sorted out.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be.
Glenn, we do have good news, and this had kind of slipped through my cracks of awareness earlier today, but we did see South Korea step into the market today and wind up making a huge corn sale. South Korea bought 280,000 metric tons of corn. That is one of the largest sales we have seen in quite some time. Net sales overall from USDA's export sales report came in at 1.47 million metric tons, with the trade expecting 1.2 million. So we were 247,000 metric tons over what the trade was anticipating, which on any other day would have been a fairly bullish number. Of course, today was dwarfed by the massive selling pressure that has been greeted by this COVID-19 global pandemic news, but it is good news. We are starting to see this corn ship. Now, this corn hasn't shipped yet. This corn for delivery into South Korea, it was booked for July 10th, 20th, and 30th, as well as one cargo coming on September 15th. So all of an old crop, helping get that crop off our shores so we can free up some bin space for this 2020 crop, Delaney.
Absolutely, and I'm excited that we're finally, at least my attention is turning to hashtag plant 2020, and I did some recon, if you can call it that, on Twitter today, just asking folks, you know, what are you looking forward to in 2020, and what are you trying that's new on your operation? And I received an overwhelming amount of feedback from folks that said this year is the year they're really testing the waters, trying things very differently than what they've done in the past, so it seems like farmers are still keeping their heads up.
Perfect. That's what we like to hear.
Absolutely.
Well, Delaney, what other news should we be talking about? Oh, I do have one other piece of news here before I am ready to jump into the markets. And this was an update that came across the wires last night at about 6 p.m. And this is the Chicago Mercantile Exchange announced they are going to close the pits on the trading floor, and they are not announcing a reopening time. They said Terry Duffy, who's the CEO of Chicago Mercantile Exchange, said, quote, "We decided after the news, with not only the World Health Organization coming to their conclusion, but also listening to some of the medical professionals about gatherings, and obviously this is a gathering place," he said, referring to the floors, "that they have made the decision to close the trading floors on Friday at the close of trade." That will be the last day of trading in the trading floors, with no news as to whether or not those floors are going to reopen. Now, a lot of us in agriculture in particular are aware that the floor has been electronic now for quite some time. We haven't had trading on the Chicago Board of Trade floor for several years now, but the CME floor still employs 54 people, and there are just about 1,100 people who access the floor every day, whether it's for media or for trading. Ted Seifert, one of our regular contributors, is over there quite a bit doing media events from the floor. All of that will be closed and stopped.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they were looking for a way to just be done with the floor, and I feel like this is how they're going to do that.
Yeah, and I think this is – it's for them, it's a great test. They can close it. Oh, we've got these health issues. We need to close it. And then, you know, if 2 weeks go by and people are like, all right, man, I wish I'd had the floor for this trade and this trade and this trade. And CME goes, oh, yeah, we could have made some money on these complex trades that really needed the actions of people in the pit. I can see them reopening it. But you're right. Otherwise, I think it's just gone.
Yeah, I think so.
Ugh, gosh, now I'm sneezing. I hope I don't have the coronavirus.
Oh, man, if you do, good thing we don't record in person.
Absolutely, Delaney. You are very lucky about that fact. But I tell you, I am all out of news. Do you have any other stories before we jump into these markets?
I don't think I do, but let's take a quick minute first to hear today's Hot Rod Farmer Minute.
Welcome to the Hot Rod Farmer Minute. I am Ray Bohax from the Idle Chatter podcast, heard on the Global Ag Network. Today's farm equipment allows for efficiencies that were unheard of even 10 years ago, but that complexity requires tools and surface equipment that most farm shops do not own and is usually quite costly. An additional concern being it is an investment that may only be used once a year. How can you limit your financial exposure and still have the equipment you need to properly service your machinery? Make a co-op purchase with a few like-minded friends. For example, a top-of-the-line AC recovery and charging station costs around $10,000. If you purchase it with three others, your investment is only $2,500. Agree on all the arrangements before the first dollar is invested and there is no downside. You all have the equipment or tools you need for one quarter of the cost. Agriculture runs on machinery, profits on reliability. Please visit farmmachinerydigest.com for more helpful hints and technical articles.
All right, well, big thanks there to Ray from the Hot Rod Farmer. Okay, great day in the markets if you are a buyer of grains or cattle or of even dairy was caught in the crosshairs today. As we look at the corn market, the May contract was down 8¾ cents at 365¾. December new crop down 5¼, closed at 371¾. Over in the soybean pit, the May contract down 13¾ to finish at 859½. November new crop down 13¾ as well, closing the day at 873 even. Chicago wheat was not spared. The May contract down 7¼ at 505½. December down 6½, finishing at 525¼. Looking over at livestock, as I mentioned, we were limit down across the board. Live cattle April contract limit down today, $3 lower, trading or finishing the day at 107.50. The June also $3 lower to close at 94.25. Feeder cattle, same story, down the daily 450 trading limit. The April contract down $4.50 at 119.02½. The May down $4.50, closed at 120.75. Lean hogs, same story, different verse. The April contract limit down, $3 lower if it closed at 60.87.50. The May, $3 down, closing at 67.20. As a reminder to everybody, all of these contracts will be trading expanded limits tomorrow. That means 450 limits in live cattle, 450 limits in lean hogs, and $6 limits in feeder cattle. Looking over at the dairy markets, the March contract unchanged on the day, really the most bullish market of the day, closing at 16.32, and the April down 4 cents, finishing the day at 15.79. Without further ado, let's get into my conversation with Mr. Max Armstrong.
Well, folks, for today's interview, I'm very excited to be talking with a man who is a mentor of mine. He's a mentor to a lot of us in the world of ag broadcasting. He's no stranger to a lot of you listening. We're joined by Mr. Max Armstrong from This Week in Agribusiness. Max, how are you doing today?
Mr. Pearson, a pleasure to be on with you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I want to pick your brain today, Max, because we have a lot going on in the world of agriculture right now. It is March. We're coming to the end of education season. We're coming to the end of meeting season. You've been out and about working with growers really for the past 6 months. What have you been hearing? What are the main topics of conversation when you're out working with growers across the country? What's on people's minds right now?
Well, obviously, for many, it was still trying to get over that 2019 harvest. And there was a grower reached out to me this week. He was up along that North Dakota-South Dakota line. He was just getting back into the corn that he had left in the field at Thanksgiving. And his surprise was a very pleasant one. You know, he didn't have the ruts out there. I guess his soil had firmed up enough. The stalks were still standing. The ears were still clinging. The moisture level had come down. The test weight had gone up. And he said, you know, this was a great way to store this crop in my particular instance this year. I think he was pleasantly surprised that he still had the standability in his field that he had.
That's incredible. And, you know, that's a testament to the genetics we've got in today's corn. To have the ability to stand through this tough fall, this tough winter, with the high winds especially they've seen up there in that part of the world,
exactly,
and still be able to get out and harvest a decent crop. I had a conversation with a grower, very different story, in central Illinois. It was still sitting on about 650 acres that had to come out of the field. I said, so you still got a lot of corn standing? And he goes, well, not a lot of it's standing anymore. It's just been blown over. He hadn't had that kind of luck with his corn genetics. So it's been a struggle for so many guys. So what you're hearing, guys are still trying to get it out. A lot of folks think they're probably going to, come hell or high water, get something out of those fields. What comes next, Max? Are they fired up about this next planting season?
I think many are. And I was profoundly impressed, as I'm sure you were, at Commodity Classic, listening to some of the growers. That meeting now, I think, with its setting on the calendar, is performing more of an important function than you might think. It's not just a trade show where people come in and look at equipment. It's not just awards programs for the seed companies. It's not just educational seminars. In this case, I think it was somewhat of a spirit lifter. After that nasty harvest of 2019, folks came together. They were able to enjoy dinner together, a few beverages together, renew old acquaintances, some of the past presidents. of the Soybean Association. A bunch of them were there, and they were reliving the wars of the past, you know, of that they fought on Capitol Hill. There was a lot of camaraderie and friendship that you saw, and I think this year, maybe more than any other recent year, I think Commodity Classic played an important role in that regard.
You know, I think you're exactly right. And while we were there in particular, Commodity Classic this year happened during that huge break we had in the markets 2 weeks ago. And at least these growers were amongst friends to commiserate as prices were dropping, as this coronavirus outbreak was spreading and spooking the markets. Max, coronavirus, you deal with the news. You've been reporting news for, I won't say how long, a minute or two. And this seems to be a unique situation from my perspective. Granted, I'm still fairly new to all of this. Well, what's your take on this coronavirus thing? Is it something we should be terribly worried about? How is the media handling it versus other things you've seen?
There's one phrase that comes to mind. I was on a program a few years ago with John Stossel, longtime network correspondent, a science-based writing and broadcasting, and the phrase that he used, and I have clinged to it many times through the years, show me the bodies.
Oh, geez.
Show me the bodies. I want to see the body count.
True.
And when you look, and I don't mean to minimize the flu, because we have flu every year.
Absolutely.
I recognize that for elderly and those who are compromised in their health in one way or another, there is that concern. There should be every year during the flu season. But for young, healthy individuals, if you look over the body count, look at the numbers, look at the fatalities, look at the deaths that have been caused by the coronavirus, it's hard to get too excited about it yet, in my way of looking at things. Traffic fatalities worry me far more. As I drive down the road and watch people drift across the stripe, I think my chances are far, far better of getting killed on the interstate than they are of being harmed by coronavirus.
And you can text and have coronavirus. You shouldn't be texting and driving, Max Armstrong.
That's another virus you've got.
It is. So it's one of those things where I think I'm in the same page as you, on the same page. I'm concerned about it. You know, I work with a number as well as you do, especially in agriculture. We do have a number of elderly participants in our industry. It could be devastating if this thing were to enter, you know, the world in which we inhabit. But at the same time, boy, it seems like a lot of the precautions we're taking look a little bit like overkill from the outside looking in, at least from my perspective. Colleges canceling classes for a month, and NBA suspending the season, and NCBA playing without fans. It's going to be an interesting spring, I think, is what we're setting up for.
I think, you know, one thing it's done, it's heightened our awareness of the need to wash our hands and to practice good hygiene. What did your mother teach you all of those years ago? Wash your hands.
That's right.
And
cough on your neighbor. Wash your hands. The best practices of preschool still applicable today.
There's still going to be people sneezing on you. That happens. For some reason, some people can't control their sneezes.
That's true. And you somehow can't get their hand up there in time to really block it.
We worked with a guy at one time who had the most profound projectile sneeze you can imagine. I mean, you just knew that everything in the room got sprayed every time he sneezed. And there'll be those people on planes, and you just wince sometimes. I will admit that I have started passing up that on-flight beverage or the packet of pretzels, which I probably should every flu season. But I get a flu shot.
There you go.
That's what they recommend. My physician recommends I do it, so I have every year. And I feel like it protects me. If I have some kind of an illness, I think it makes it a little bit easier to tolerate. I don't think my flu is as severe if I get it. So
sure. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Worst case, you know, I guess, who wants to anticipate the worst case? But economically speaking, it seems like we're going to cut rates again. It seems like we're going to get some more fiscal stimulus, which the markets, I imagine, one of these days are going to recognize as a positive. So I think we'll get through this thing one way or another.
I think the rebound is going to be pretty significant when it does take place, especially in the equity markets. And, you know, as you look at our livestock and meat exports, they've been strong, haven't they?
They have been strong. So there are some real opportunities, it looks like, as we get through this thing, as we start to see either a cure or a vaccine or greater control measures come into place, you know, we've talked a lot about China, Max. They are going to have to start buying pork, and that would have maybe averted this whole thing if they bought U.S. pork rather than
eating
snakes.
Well, they already have been, haven't they? Haven't the exports of pork been up substantially from a year ago already?
They have been, Max, and I'm doing the interview here, so you've got to chill back out now. Come on, you're on my show now. This is a change of pace. I'll let you just switch back into the interviewer mode. So, but no, you're exactly right, Max. But why don't you tell us, have pork exports to China been up over the past several months?
Well, as you know, absolutely, Mike. I think we've seen, compared to a year ago, pork exports up about 30% overall for the United States.
Which is a win. We just need to see it continue.
Japan, of course, hasn't been up quite as much, but by the beginning of April, I think those tariffs are coming off, and with the new trade agreement with Japan, and those exports should be up as well. Now, let's move back into the other mode.
So, Max, farmers excited about getting back out there. We've got crop insurance spring price set. We've got the fields getting harvested as you look around the country.
And we saw soybeans being planted a few days ago in central Illinois. Beans were going in. Yes. On This Week in Agribusiness, the story about Jacob Wade putting in soybeans. And I reached out to a couple of farmer friends, and they said, absolutely, as soon as we get the opportunity, we're going to put in beans. Early planting of soybeans paid off for them handsomely in 2019.
Wow.
One northern Illinois farmer near DeKalb, Illinois, said, yeah, he had 75 to 80 bushel beans, and he was sure it was because he put them in early.
Put them in early March.
Well, it wasn't early March. I think his went in last year. The last week of March or beginning of April.
Okay.
But this farmer in central Illinois, Jacob Wade, who shared the comments with us on our show, said he wanted to press that envelope a little bit just to see what happened.
Jeez, that's pretty incredible. So, Max, as you look ahead, so you've got This Week in Agribusiness. Before we go, how can our listeners catch This Week in Agribusiness if they're not already watching?
Sure. Local television stations all over the United States, check your local listings. I think we have about 130 local stations. We air four times a weekend on RFD TV. One of those is 7 a.m. Saturday morning. That's the first one. 7 a.m. Central, 5 a.m. Central on Sunday morning. We air also later on Sunday night and then Monday morning as well. And if you go to the website, farmfutures.com. You can click right there. There's a Max Armstrong box, and you can watch the show online, too.
Yes, you can. It's a fantastic place to watch it. And, Max, you are also the guy, the Mecum Gone Farming Tractor Auctions guy. Another auction coming up, right?
Yeah, well, we have one coming up at the end of the month. That's right. At Davenport, Iowa. And there's some neat stuff. They're now bringing trucks in. Old trucks.
Ooh, any internationals? I know you're a red tractor guy. Are you an international truck guy?
I am, as a matter of fact. Now, there is an international. And there's an old Chevy pickup.
Ooh, I love these old Chevys.
Late 40s, early 50s.
Oh, old.
Yeah. Now, they're not always finally restored. The IH truck had the patina with it.
Beautiful.
Which some people like as well.
I'm in that camp. I'd love to see it, an original, in its original work clothes out there, but that's because I buy cheap stuff, Max. That's kind of how I can only afford stuff that's still original. So you're a red tractor guy, international truck guy. Any super cool tractors at that sale you've seen so far? Are we still just kind of rolling out the inventory?
One of the tractors that's going to be there will be one of those bicentennial J.I. Case tractors, 1570s they were, and they only painted up about 200 of them.
The Stars and Stripes painting?
Yes. This was in 1976. To celebrate the bicentennial of the United States, they painted up 200. And, some of them are still out there in their original paint. Some have been restored, and there's one of those that's going to be selling on the auction. Then there are collections that sell, too. Sometimes they'll bring a person's whole collection in when they decide it's time for a herd dispersal. And you meet some of the most interesting people at those. I met John Deere's great-great-great-grandson there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
He was selling or buying green tractors, I assume.
A buddy brought him.
Okay.
And as it turned out, he had never really, been a part of the tractor company. His dad ran John Deere.
Oh, wow.
At one time, but he hadn't been a part of the company himself. He chose a path in real estate.
Interesting.
But he grew up in the company, grew up around the headquarters, and he was there just to see the auction, and a mutual friend introduced me. So we did an interview talking about the John Deere lineage and the heritage, and his face lit up, and he got to talking about how his father took John Deere worldwide, but his mother was the driving force.
Behind every great man is a powerful woman.
And he almost got emotional talking about that.
Wow. It's incredible. Well, Max, I think we will have to have you back on after the Mecum auction to get caught up on some of the stories you have heard over there in Davenport. In the meantime, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, sir. It's a privilege for me. I appreciate it.
Well, it's always fun to catch up with Mr. Armstrong. I'm jealous that I wasn't part of that conversation, Mike, but it sounds like you guys had a great discussion.
Well, Delaney, I tell you, one of these Thursdays, just make a trip over and we'll go shoot the show together.
That'd be fun. I'd love that.
Listeners, in the meantime, if you want to catch up on the stuff that Delaney and I do together, you can check up on it at our website, agnewsdaily.com. And, of course, interact with us on social media. Visit us on the web, on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, at Ag News Daily. With that, Delaney, should we let the listeners go?
Let's let them go.